These words from Mark 9. John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward."
Thank you, praise band. That was good. Good set. Nicholas, you did a number on me. Where are you? I swear, when you got up there that stood behind a keyboard, I thought, I didn't know he played. And then you stood there and sang, but that's okay. Well, my sermon today is fun for me, anyway. I enjoyed it at 8:30, and it's short and sweet, so we'll get you out of here on time today. It's going to start with a story. And this story starts right in the middle of a story, so if you feel lost for about 3 minutes, no, 3 seconds, that's fine. The story goes like this. What are you doing to fight mass incarceration in America? The speaker intoned passionately. In the United States of America, we have more people incarcerated in this country than in any other country in the world, and that includes China. 22% of the world's population, or of the prison population, he said, 22% are housed here in the United States. 59% of them are African American, he said. 59% of our prisoners in the United States are African American. What are you doing about our incarcerated? I am here tonight to get a group together so that we can be actively involved in promoting this in our community. And so a discussion ensued. And a school teacher stood up and said, "Well, I know what my friends and I are doing for the incarcerated in our country. We're making chocolate chip cookies. And we take them to our prisoners that are in the county jail. When an inmate has a birthday, we're notified about it, and we go out with a clear plastic bag of cookies and we give it to the prisoners." And he said, "I've seen grown men fall to their knees and cry because they don't get birthday presents and they like those cookies." And the room went silent. And the speaker said, "Well, I appreciate that you make cookies for inmates, and I'm sure the inmates appreciate receiving the cookies. But that's not going to change much about the incarcerated in America, is it?" End of story. Have you ever had the feeling that other people's contributions to the cause of Christ are so visionary and wide sweeping that yours are pale in comparison? Have you ever, and this is an honest question, been slightly envious of another person's faith? Yeah? Maybe you've inadvertently been made to feel that the way you love Jesus just doesn't measure up. I don't know, another story, but 3 weeks ago we had the missions fair here at the church. I think that's one of the neatest things we do. Missions fair, we invite those that we're giving our outreach monies to, the organizations and ministries, to come, and they set up tables and booths out in the lobby, and they usually bring posters and information and goodies to pass out, and you can talk to them and find out what they're doing, and then you kind of know what your money is going for and what you're supporting, and it's a neat thing. And I went down the line and went to a number of tables and talked to those who are the movers and shakers of these organizations, and made conversation with what they were doing, those that are on the front line of the ministry. And you know what? I couldn't help myself. I walked away, and I had the feeling that those guys had arrived, and somehow I had spent my life making cookies. Now, that's on me, you understand. Nobody intentionally made me feel that way. That's a gimmick. That's a trick of Satan's to discourage us and disparage us. But I walked away thinking, I must make cookies, because these guys really do great things. Now, if you've ever felt somewhat inferior, you're in good company, because that's where the disciples are today in this scripture in Mark 9, verse 38 to 41, when they come to Jesus and they say, "Master, we saw this guy and he's performing miracles in your name and he's casting out demons in your name. And we told him to stop because he isn't one of us." Demon possession seemed to be very widespread in Judea in Jesus' time. If you read Mark's gospel the whole way through, Jesus seems to have cornered the market on casting out Satan and the strong man and setting those who are in bondage free. He cornered the market on that. So on the one hand, when you read this, "We saw this guy casting out demons and we told him to stop." On the one hand, they are kind of defending their home turf. That's natural. This is what we do, they said, but there's something else going on here, and I don't want us to miss it. And that is that this brother, whoever he was, and had the ministry of casting out a demon in Jesus' name, was able to do something that 24 verses earlier in Mark 9, the disciples could not do. He did something that they couldn't do. It started like this. You remember the story? You probably don't. Doesn't matter. Jesus comes down from the mountain. He has three of the disciples with him. Nine of the disciples are down in the valley. And they are surrounded by a crowd of people. And he doesn't know what's going on. And so he makes inquiry. What is this? What's going on? And a father speaks up and says, "I brought my son to your disciples. He has a spirit." You hear that? He has a demon. It throws him on the ground. It makes him convulse. It makes him seize. Probably was epilepsy. Makes him foam at the mouth, and then he turns rigid. And I asked them to cast it out, and they couldn't do it. And they couldn't do it. Have you ever felt like you failed Jesus? Now here these guys are, and they've been in ministry with him for 3 years, right? They've been in ministry with him for 3 years. At one point, he gave them his power and authority. They came back and said, "The demons were subject to us in your name." And here they are, and this little child is brought, and they are powerless to do anything about it. So when they saw this guy, this outsider, doing what they thought they should have been doing, they weren't able to celebrate it. Maybe you know that feeling. I don't know. We have relatives, God bless them, and I won't say who they are, but they're not here, and you probably won't ever meet them. But they can't celebrate the victory of somebody else. They just can't. Everything's always so negative. We have a hard time with that. Who is this guy? Doesn't even know who Jesus is, and he's doing ministry in his name. It can feel pretty threatening when you perceive somebody's on the cutting edge of something and you yourself aren't doing what you think you ought to be doing. That can be a real threatening thing. You know what was going on right before this story? These disciples are really like kids, and that's why I love them so much. What's going on before this story is they're having a conversation. They're fighting among themselves. And they're fighting about which one of them is better than the other. Which one does Jesus love the best? That's the whole issue. Which one gives us the most value? And so then it's right after that conversation, they see this guy casting out demons. They're threatened by it. They go and tell him to stop. And Jesus says, now if you let me paraphrase, Jesus says, "Guys, come on. Casting out demons is a great thing. It ought to be celebrated. Anybody who does that in my name, it should be celebrated, not circumvented. But let me tell you this. I'll tell you the truth. Anybody who gives as much as a cup of cold water in my name is not without their reward." Folks, I'm talking today about doing big things and bigger things for Jesus. Two quick things. In 1982, Kathy and I spent 3 weeks in Haiti. We went as part of our seminary program, but it was a mission program besides. And we went to what our Church of the Brethren Ministries was supporting at the time. Now, if you ask Kathy and you ask me, it was one of the best ministries of our entire life. We felt so alive in those 3 weeks, even though we saw such great poverty. We just felt so alive. We felt God at work in our lives. We came back, we were all fired up, we were excited. But folks, that was 36 years ago. We've never been back. And you know, and I know, pastors who travel the globe doing ministry in Jesus' name. Whereas my ministry has mostly been in hospitals and nursing homes and hospice beds, here in the pulpit, at meetings, giving, cups of cold water in the name of Christ. And that's okay. Here's the point of this scripture. Everybody, you, we all have a call. We all have something to do. And doing something is better than doing nothing at all. Amen? Yeah, it's right. Doing something is better than doing nothing at all. Big things and small things become great things when they're done in His name. Another example. We have a house just a stone's throw from here that Habitat for Humanity and the family that's going into it have built. It's just a stone's throw from here, actually. I am no carpenter. Trust me. I've hung drywall and I failed. I did it with my brother-in-law and he did most of the work and I just simply kind of looked busy. Okay? I hang pictures really great. Go into my office. They're straight. They're beautiful. I get a lot of compliments on my office, but I can't hang cabinets. I can't lay floors. So in Habitat for Humanity, that's only a stone's throw away, was saying we need help. I thought I ought to go down and help. I'm the closest pastor, but I tell you, I've discovered my help is a hindrance. So I didn't. God bless the people that can do that kind of thing and make that their ministry. I'm not one of those kind of people, but then you see it in your bulletin, and I announced that Habitat for Humanity now says we're ready to turn the key. And what we need are cups of cold water. People to do a little TLC in the house, a little TLC in the lawn. I can do that. And I'm sure that a number of you can do that too. You know, I spend my time thinking, man, if I could just raise up roof trusses, if I could just build joists and put them up, if I could lay floor, if I could stain. That's all great things, but the cups of water are just as important. Jesus says, whoever gives you a cup of cold water to drink because you are here in my name will not lose their reward. At the first service, we consecrated Jerry Moore, Brother Jerry Moore, to service. I don't know how old Jerry is. I'm guessing late 60s. Don't tell him I told you that. Maybe he's older, maybe he's younger. But he was saying one of his concerns going this time, I'll tell you what he's doing, but one of his concerns is his age. He's going to Puerto Rico. He's leaving next Sunday, a week from today, and he's going to be gone for 5 weeks, and he's going to be living in a church next to a hospital. And they're going to be rebuilding the church and rebuilding homes that were destroyed by Hurricane Maria. He's going with a team of people. He'll have 5 different teams of people the entire time he's down there. Disaster Relief asked him if he would come. It's something Jerry's had experience doing. So he's going to go down and do this. And his wife, Kathy, is going to stay here and do all the fall cleanup work on the farmette that they have. But here's the thing. That's a great ministry. That's a great work if you're able to do that. And I wouldn't be surprised but that some of you here will have the opportunity to go south to the Carolinas to help with Hurricane Flo. When the Church of the Brethren finally gets the boots on the ground and says we're ready for volunteers to come in. I wouldn't be surprised if you do that. And that is a great thing. But I'll tell you something else about Jerry Moore and I want to talk about some of you. Jerry Moore does a lot of little things. Last Tuesday, after our funeral service on Monday, somebody said to him, the kitchen lights don't work. He was in here Tuesday morning early, fixed the kitchen lights. I know the ladies were happy, and Jesus was blessed. That's Jerry. Did you know there's a man that comes to our first service? His name's Bob Witter. And all spring, all summer, and all fall, every week, once a week, sometimes twice a week, Bob Witter mows our grass. And in the wintertime, he and his sister Judy clean our sidewalks. That's a cup of water. But it's done in Jesus' name, and it blesses me, and it blesses you. Don and Diane Berger and their daughter Stephanie. See all these flowers in pots around the church and all these flowers that are planted where the nursery school plays? They buy them. They plant them. They trim them. They tear them out when they're dead, and they put new ones, and they change them for the season. The Burgers do that. The Burgers come in every Tuesday. They take the food out of the food barrel. They take it to the food pantry where it belongs. That's not much, but it's a great thing because it's done in Jesus' name. It's a cup of cold water. Mabel and Margie Diller come to the first service. Mabel and Margie, when we have a funeral, I go to Mabel, and I say, Mabel, I need a funeral meal. She calls Margie. Margie calls you. We get cakes coming out the wazoo. I don't know where they come from. We have more desserts than we have food sometimes. You come in and you serve, that's a cup of cold water. These bulletins are flat every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. They're flat. Vivian Fisher and Doris Fritz come in every Friday morning without fail. They fold them so that you have a nice folded bulletin to take home. Every Sunday, we have a snack bar back here, a coffee bar. The church fairies don't do that. This woman right here does. And the man sitting beside her does. And the man sitting back there does. And they buy the food. They organize the food. People bring in the food. They slice it up. They dice it up. They make it a nice presentation. That's washing feet. That's another metaphor. That's giving a cup of cold water. As Jerry said, we have all kinds of volunteers that work with our Smart Cookies nursery school program. We have all kinds of volunteers. I'm looking at Andy, and Andy happens to be one of them, that work with our youth. Every Wednesday evening, they're part of a team of leaders that come to youth group and lead small group discussion and lead workshops that are coming up in the wintertime. There are a number of you, Larry and Lana, back there. Oh, they left me. Did they leave me? Well, wait till I talk to them. They walked out on me. Now, Larry and Lana brought snack Sundays. Make your own Sundays for Wednesday night. Every Wednesday night, there's a snack. Somebody is given a cup of cold water. It's dangerous if I name people, because then you say, well, you didn't say anything about me. I thought I did something special. I know. I just made a random list of things that came to my mind right away. The praise band. They set this all up on Thursday night, sometimes not till Saturday night. They tear it all down after you leave, and they play for the glory of God and our neighbor's good. It's a little more than a cup of cold water, but what my point is, little things are big things when done in Jesus' name. You could send a card to somebody who's had a death in the family. Doesn't seem like much. But I just talked to John Rotz, and he's talking about his mother. And after all the commotion of a funeral is over and people go home, then you feel the loneliness. That's when a card's important. You could go to the hospital, visit somebody. We have guests here today. You could greet the guests. Say, I don't know who you are. You look like an ugly bunch to me. No, I happen to know who they are. But, you know, you can greet the guests. In Jesus' name, it's a cup of cold water. I made a random list. You can take down tables after communion and love feast next Sunday. You can serve as a greeter or an usher. You can drive, you can drive that van for our Bible release time. We're still looking for van drivers. Teach a Sunday school class, serve on a commission, serve on the board, bring supplies to the food barrel or to the serving our neighbor's ministry. I'm just scratching the surface. I've got a joke to close, okay? And then I'll really close it. Here's the joke. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Wah. Wahoo. That's exactly right. Aw. You can send a card. You can go to the hospital. You can tear down tables. Well, wahoo. That's nothing. That's not Puerto Rico. Hey, if it's done in Jesus' name, it's something. Jesus was very clear that we have a definite blessing from him, that all things great and small are for the kingdom of God. He is glorified. He is magnified in both. We are all called to do something. And doing something's better than nothing at all. So I want to do something right now. That's my sermon. How'd I do on time? Oh, I did great. Let's do something right now. Where's Zeke? Did he go out on me? Did he leave? Where is he? Come here, Brother Zeke. Come here, Amy. Amy. Come here, Jamie and Travis. His parents away from parents. Yeah, I know. Where are you, Deshaun? Put the phone down. Come up here. Get the whole family.
There's only so much I can do.
Guy, now you can dress them up, but you can't take them out. We want to. I want to commission this guy. He's going for. Well, tell him what you're going to do. Yeah, tell him.
I'm going to Spain on Tuesday. I'm going for school. I'm going to be there for 6 months. Basically, it's like college, but I'm just going to be taking class over there in Spanish.
Who are you living with?
I'm living with a host family. I'm living with a lady. I forgot her name. But it's just me and then another guy from Michigan that's also from here. And we're both going to start our house. And then basically she's getting paid by the program that I'm going to, and she'll feed us every single day.
Okay.
Pray for her.
Yeah, pray for her. She's going to be in the poorhouse till he leaves. No, do you speak Spanish?
I do.
You do? All right.
Not fluently, but.
No, but enough to be helpful. Enough to help you. I want to pray for him, and I want to pray for mom and dad and for a little brother. So here's what I want to do. I'm going to have you guys stand right up here, and I'm going to invite any of you that want to come, put your hands on him, and we're going to surround him, and we're going to pray over him. And we're going to send him out for this little ministry that he's doing, which is a big thing. Boy, they're coming up. Yep, take that pulpit away from here. I can't reach you, Ezekiel, so I'm going to put my hand on Cody, and he'll just come right through. It'll come right through. Dear Lord Jesus, we're here today to lift up this brother and pray first of all for his safety in flight and his safety in landing. I think that's important. I know that's something that's on Jamie and Travis's heart. They certainly want to know that when he arrives there safely and the host home is waiting for him and things will go through. And I pray that you'll work through the details, and in the details, he will find that he is settled and satisfied. And then I pray that you will bless him with his host family and this study abroad and this experience, and that you will grow him. He will, as the choir sang about this morning, he will grow. He will thrive. He will be blessed. He will be challenged. He will be changed. And he will be all right. And he has a responsibility. And the responsibility is to be a person of integrity, to be a person of dignity, to be a person that represents you well, and to be your ambassador. I absolutely know that there will be great learning experiences, and I also know temptation will also fall in his way. Help him to use good judgment and good discernment and use his maturity to really be a reflection that you, your Holy Ghost, your Holy Spirit, is dwelling in him and he in you, and that the two of you together, there's nothing you can't do. We will be here uplifting him in prayer. We will be here holding on to the phone conversations and the video chat conversations. We will be here keeping the vigil until he comes back. And just bless him for a prayer in Jesus' name. All people said, amen. Amen. Best wishes to you, brother. I think I'll have you stand up and the praise band will lead us one more time. That's right.